right. Well, it was a great week this past week at camp, and I'm excited about where we're going to be in God's Word this morning, coming off of that week and into the rest of the summer. Before we dive in, I want to tell you just a quick story about me from when I was in high school. To be real honest with you guys, when I was a senior in high school, I really didn't do anything. I didn't really think about school or anything at all like that. I had three classes, and that's all that I took my senior year, and they were office aid. That was one of them, and that just meant that I got to walk around to lots of different lunch periods. The second class that I took was a cooking class, and I learned how to make a quiche in that class, and I still know how to make that quiche. That's all I remember from that class. And then the third class that I took, it was two periods long, and it was very exciting for me. It was called Auto Tech. Do they still have that in your high schools, like the auto? Okay, so I got to take that class, and it was a lot of fun for me. I enjoyed it. I got to work with my hands. There's just something about that, guys, where you get to build stuff and do stuff and tinker with stuff. And so I took this Auto Tech class, and I loved it because I got to do stuff, you know, with my hands and figure stuff out and learn different things. And I still actually know some of those things, so that's cool. But I also liked it because I had a truck that always needed a lot of work, and so I could work on it in that class and not have to pay a mechanic somewhere to do it. Like, our teacher would teach us how to do it, and we would work on it ourselves. And so one day, my truck needed some work. Like, things weren't happening right on, like, the front right tire or whatever. Something with the little boot in there was broken and messed up. So we brought it in, and our teacher looked at it and said, all right, this is what you need to do. And he printed out some instructions off of his computer and gave them to me and one other guy and said, all right, here's the parts. Here's the instructions. Now you need to go and fix it. And so it took us about a week because we had no idea what we were doing, right? We were looking at a printout off the computer. We didn't even know what all the right tools were. And so we were really piecing this thing together. And at the end of it, when we were done, he walked over, and this is still sort of scary. Hopefully they're better than this now. He looked at it for maybe 30 seconds. And he said, all right, guys, you're good to go. Put it all back together and then sort of move on. And so we did, and we put it back together. He said, all right, now take it out for a test drive and see if it's fixed. See if it works the way that it's supposed to work. And so we were like, man, this is great. Okay, it's all fixed. We put it back together. We're feeling really proud of ourselves. And so we backed the truck out of the little bay there and started driving on the road right behind Klein High School right there, down towards the football stadium, down towards the baseball fields at the far side of the building. And I'll never remember or never forget it. My steering wheel was facing straight ahead, and my truck was going this way, right? And so we're like bouncing off the curb, and I'm trying to get it straight again, and we're bouncing off the curb, and I just couldn't get it to go straight. It just kept going to the right, and I was like, this isn't working. I need to stop. And I pushed the brakes, and nothing happened, right? I'm trying to jam the brakes on, and I can't get it to stop. And so eventually, like slamming into the curb enough and hitting the emergency brake, I got the car to sort of stop right there. And I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And they found a way to tow it and pull it back in there to get it fixed up. But here's the problem, all right? We got it all fixed and we put it back together, but there were several things that should have been lined up and working together that weren't, right? There were three very specific pieces on this little tire, this wheel, like this part of the car, that were all supposed to be in alignment so that when I pointed the steering wheel where I wanted to go, I could actually go the direction that I wanted. Does that make sense? Things were out of alignment, and because of that, we're banging off the curb and almost into the little ditch behind the football stadium, right? It was sort of scary when things got out of alignment, right? When they got out, I couldn't go the way that I wanted to go. And guys, the same's true in our lives, all right? There are certain things in our hearts. There are certain things in our mind. There are certain actions that we as believers, right, that they should all be in alignment. And as they're in alignment, guess what? When all those things line up, we're going to go the direction that God's called us to go. When all those things are in alignment, we're going to do what God wants us to do, what God desires for us to do. We're going to be able to follow Christ with our whole hearts when all of these things come into alignment. But unfortunately, there's sometimes that even followers of Christ get one thing off. Right? Or they let their heart turn a certain way, and that one thing going out of alignment prevents us from going and doing what God has called us to do. And as we open up our Bibles today, we're going to be looking at a guy named Solomon. So if you got your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 2, and that's where we're going to start. And we're going to look at his life, and we're going to see how things were going so incredibly well, how things were going the direction that God had called him to go. But over time, he let some things come into his life, wrong priorities, wrong people, wrong relationships, and we'll see that he very quickly got out of alignment, and it led him down a road that he did not want to go on. All right, so as you guys are turning, we're going to ask you guys to, let's bow our heads in prayer before we go to the Lord in Scripture. So let's pray, and just with your heads bowed, eyes closed, just right where you're sitting, I want you to just real quick, just say a little prayer where you're sitting, and ask God to help you evaluate your heart, your mind, your life. Ask God to give you wisdom right now. Ask God to show you if your life is in alignment with Him and in alignment with His will. Ask God to open up His word to us today so that we might know and see what we need to do to make sure we're going the way that God has called us to go. God, this morning as we open your word together, God, I pray that you would speak through your word. God, I pray that you would help us to see and know and understand, God, what you would have us know about your word today, what you would have us know about you. And Father, I pray that all of us, God, would think about our lives, would think about what's going on in our hearts and in our minds, God. And I pray that if there's anything out of alignment in our life this morning, that we would be honest with you today. We would be honest with you today, God, that you would work on our hearts and that we would respond in obedience to make sure that our hearts line up with your heart. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray for our time today. It's in your name. And everybody said, amen. All right, so Solomon was the son of who? Who knows this? David. Very nice. So Solomon becomes the third king of Israel. We did Saul 2 weeks ago. We learned about David's life last week, and today we're talking about Solomon. And at the end of David's life, all right, David does some things to make Solomon the new king, right? He elevates Solomon. He points the people of the kingdom to Solomon and says, Solomon is going to be the guy that takes over for me as I pass on, right? And as he does that, he does it because God had promised him that Solomon would be the king, and God always is faithful and God always delivers on his promises. So David sets Solomon up to be king, and we're going to see in 1 Kings chapter 2, the first couple of verses there, David gives Solomon the ultimate sort of father-son pep talk, all right? The ultimate be a man pep talk. I don't know if you guys have gotten one of these from your dads, but basically, David pulls him aside and says, all right, it's time to step up, all right? It's time for you to be a man. It's time for you to step into the role that God has for you. And he charges him and he encourages him. And in the midst of that, he tells Solomon the direction that he needs to go in order to be successful. So let's look at 1 Kings chapter 2, these first couple of verses. It said, when David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. He says, I'm about to die. Be strong and show yourself a man. All right? He tells Solomon to be strong. He tells Solomon to step up and to be a man. And the cool thing is this, he tells us how to do that. All right, he didn't have to guess. He tells Solomon exactly what he needs Solomon to do to step up and to be that strong man. Look at verse 3. It says, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper. Listen to that. Do all of this that God's called you to do, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. David gives Solomon the pep talk. He tells Solomon to follow after God. He tells Solomon, you're about to be the king, and here's the deal. As you step into the role of king, as you step in as the commander over God's chosen people, guess what? Make it about God and not about you. As you step into this role, do what God has called you to do and not what the people around you might want you to do. Make it all about God. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Keep your heart and your head and your hands and everything moving in the direction that God has called you to do. And as you do that, David said, as you do that, as you follow God with your whole heart, and as you do what God's called you to do, then guess what? You will prosper in everything that you do and wherever you go. And we know that David wasn't perfect. We heard last week a little bit about David's life and how David messed up, but it was David's heart. It was David's heart to live by the very same advice that he gave his son Solomon. We saw how God's hand was on David. And if Solomon lives like his father did, then God's hand will be on Solomon in that exact same way. And immediately, right, when you move into the next chapter, into chapter 3, we see a couple things about Solomon that really jump out. And the first thing is this: as he's stepping into the role as king, he genuinely loves God. Right, he loves God and he walks with God. In chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Solomon loved the Lord and he walked in the statutes of David, his father. So we know that that's how it started for him. And the second thing that, jumps out for me just about Solomon and about his life is this, is he appears very, very humble at the beginning of his reign, right? He knows that he's got a big job. He knows that he might be a little bit over his head. He knows that he needs a little bit of help to be able to do what God's called him to do. And so we get this huge scene in 1 Kings chapter 3. It starts in verse 5 where Solomon has this chance to go before God and get whatever it is he asked for. Look at verse 5 of chapter 3. It says this: at Gibeon, the Lord God appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Your Bible might say, ask whatever you wish and I will give it unto you. Basically, God's coming before Solomon saying, you need to ask for whatever you want and I will provide it for you. All right, think about that. All right, area I appear real quick. If I appeared to you, or someone that can actually give you what you asked for, if God appeared to you in a dream and said, hey, ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you right now, I want you to think about what you would ask for. Just think about it for a second. All right? Anything. There's nothing off the table. There's nothing off limits. If you could ask God for anything and know that he was going to grant your request, what would you ask God for? Some of you are thinking about a nice car right now. Some of you are thinking about a vacation home. Some of you have really big aspirations and you're thinking about a jet or something like that. Some of you just want a new phone. I don't know, right? Some of you are sitting here thinking about the different things that you could ask God for, right? But God goes before Solomon. And he says, ask, and I'll give it to you. And the incredible thing is this, right? It's absolutely incredible the way that Solomon answers. Look at verse 6. It says this: Solomon said, you've shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, to my dad, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and uprightness of heart towards you, and you've kept for him this love, and you've given him a son that would sit on the throne as well. Verse 7, now, Lord, you've made me the king in place of my father David, but I am a little child. I don't know how to walk out, and I don't know how to walk in. And just press pause right there. Solomon's not literally saying that he doesn't know how to leave the room and come back into the room. What he's saying there, he's confessing that there's very basic things about running a kingdom that he doesn't know. There's very basic things, very basic skills that he knows that he needs, that he also knows he does not have. He's going to be faced with lots of times where he's going to have to provide wisdom, lots of times and situations where he's going to have to rule efficiently and effectively. And he's saying right there, listen, God, listen, I'm young. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this on my own. I am but a child. And look down at verse 8. It says, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great many, too many people to be numbered or counted. In verse 9, this is where he asks God to give him something. Verse 9, he says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind. That's what Solomon asked God for, an understanding mind. Look back at verse 9. Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? All right, so think about what you would have asked God for, right? Does it line up anywhere close to Solomon's? All right, that alone shows me that Solomon's a smart guy to begin with, right? To be able to think about that and to ask God for that. Solomon asked God for wisdom, right? Absolutely incredible, right? And God thought it was incredible too, because when Solomon asked for wisdom, God said, you know what? Since you asked me for this, and not for riches, and not for wealth, and not for fame, and not for honor, I'm going to give you the wisdom that you asked for, and on top of that, I'm going to give you everything else. I'm going to give you honor, I'm going to give you fame, I'm going to give you fortune, I'm going to give you riches, and the kingdom is going to go well so long as you continue to follow after me. You continue to observe my rules and continue to observe my commandments. He asked God for wisdom, and then God gave him this incredible wisdom. Some would say that he's the wisest man to ever live. People traveled from all over the world to ask him questions. People traveled from all over the world to test his knowledge. Look down in verse 32, it says, he spoke 3,000 proverbs, right? So 3,000 proverbs were spoken or written by Solomon. He wrote over 1,000 songs. The Bible says he wrote 1,005 songs. So I did something last night as I was looking at this. I Googled how many songs has Beyonce written, because I just wanted to compare Solomon's songwriting skills to Beyonce's songwriting skills. Does anybody have a guess on that? How many she has actually written herself? Anybody?
None.
Who said none? I don't know if that's right or not, right? So here's the deal. I looked. I couldn't find. Like, nobody has an accurate number. But I can tell you this. Her latest song, the one that just came out that apparently is really popular right now, she did not write that song by herself. She enlisted the help of 72 other people to help her write that song, right? So Solomon, he's got to be a genius, right? He wrote over 1,005 songs just by himself, right? The Bible says that he spoke of trees. He could tell you about the cedar in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. The Bible says he could tell you about beasts, animals, birds, reptiles, fish. And then it goes on to say people from all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. God gave him an incredible amount of wisdom. And with that wisdom, Solomon used it to rule God's people the way that God wanted them to be ruled. And as that happened, God's hand was on his people. God's hand was on the nation of Israel. And they prospered and they grew and things were incredible with them. But then something happened. All right, something happened. As we look into his life, we see that things are going well, that his head is full of the wisdom of God. Right, his head is full of the wisdom of God. God gave him an incredible amount of wisdom. We see with his hands, right, that he's doing what God has called him to do. He's building the temple for the Lord. He's helping the people of Israel. He's using his hands and his actions to do what God's called him to do. And we know with his heart, because it says over and over again, that Solomon loved God. That Solomon had the same love and the same passion for God that his father David did. So his head, his hands, and his heart were in alignment. And as they were in alignment, he was pursuing God and things were going well. But something happened to Solomon. Something took Solomon off course. And unfortunately, he went the wrong direction. Flip over, if you've still got your Bibles open, to chapter 11, right? Flip over to chapter 11 for me. And we're going to see that all of a sudden something else got a hold of Solomon's heart. That something took Solomon's heart and began to move him in the wrong direction. Something got a hold of his heart and took his heart out of alignment, which took his entire life the wrong direction. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Chittian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel. And listen to this. Here's why this is important. All right, Solomon loved these women, and he was drawn to these women, but God had warned him in advance to stay away from them. In verse 2, the middle of it, God said to the people, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you. And here's why. God didn't just say it. God gave them the reason why. He said, for they surely will turn away your heart after their gods. God told Solomon, listen, stay away from things that will turn your heart away from me. Stay away from people that will turn your heart away from me. Protect your heart. Guard your heart. Make sure your heart is focused 100% and solely on me. Don't do anything to corrupt that. Don't do anything to pull that out of alignment. Don't do anything to turn you in the wrong direction. But unfortunately, the end of verse 2 in chapter 11, it says, Solomon clung to these in love. Verse 3, he had 700 wives. 700 wives and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. So God gave the people of Israel, God gave Solomon a warning. There's no doubt in my mind that he knew that command from God. There's no doubt in my mind that he knew that scripture, that he knew exactly what God wanted him to do in that area of his life. But he knew it here, and he disobeyed it here. Right? He knew it in his head, but he didn't follow through with it in his heart and in his life. And because of that, the Bible says that Solomon did evil before the Lord. His heart got out of alignment. Right? His heart got out of alignment. His heart was no longer focused on what God told him to focus on. His heart was no longer focused solely on the Lord. Things got in there, relationships got in there, and they turned his heart. The Bible says that in that moment, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and from there, it was downhill for Solomon. And Solomon was punished for that, right? Solomon was punished for his disobedience before God. And the Bible says that one generation later, because of what Solomon did, that God took the kingdom away from one of his sons, that God took the kingdom, and that began to sort of go downhill for the people of Israel because their leader did not follow God with his whole heart. He got himself out of alignment. He began to focus on something that God told him that he should not focus on. And so as we read this story, as we read about the life of Solomon, as we think about it, there's something that's just always jumped out to me, that I've just always been curious about, and I've always wondered about. If the wisest man in the world, right, the one that had a supernatural wisdom given to him from God could mess up like that, it just scares me because, like, so could I, right? So could I. Think about it, smartest man in the world. How did that happen? He knew it. He knew what he was supposed to do. He had everything he could possibly need right here in his head. He had everything from God right here, and he said God had told him, and he knew it, and God gave him the wisdom and the ability to understand it, but over time in his life, he allowed something else to grab his heart. In that moment, things got out of alignment. So I wanted to share three things with you this morning, three areas of our lives that after reading this, I feel like need to be in alignment if we're going to go down the road that God has called us to go on, if we're going to go down a road that gives God glory and points other people to him, if we're going to go down a road that ultimately leads to our good and the glory of God. I really feel like these three things from Solomon's life need to be in alignment in our life as well. And the first is this, guys, our head needs to be in the right place. So for our head to be in the right place, number one is this. Guys, we need to ask God for wisdom. All right? We need to be in a place where we ask God for wisdom. All right? God came to Solomon. Solomon could have asked for anything, but he didn't ask for anything. He asked for wisdom, and that request pleased God, and we saw how God responded to that. So that should be an indication for us that it would be a good thing for us to ask God for wisdom. And then we read in the New Testament in James chapter 1, verse 5, James writes this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask who? God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Guys, we're supposed to go before God and ask God for wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, which Solomon wrote, by the way, it says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is his insight, right? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says this, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. In Proverbs chapter 24, it says, my son, eat honey, for it is good. The drippings of honeycomb are sweet to your taste, but know that wisdom is that to your soul. If you find it, listen to this. This is Solomon writing. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Guys, we need to be wise about the things of God. We need to have a knowledge of the things of God. And guys, God will grant that to us. If we seek him, if we ask him for wisdom, God will give that to us. Proverbs 19:8 says this, he who gets wisdom loves himself. He who gets wisdom loves himself. Guys, we're supposed to seek wisdom, right? And God will grant it to us. There's different ways you can do that. I don't want to just say seek wisdom and ask God for it and move on. Guys, ask God for wisdom. And here's some ways that I feel like God will tell you that you can gain wisdom, that you can gain a knowledge of him. The first is this. Guys, open your Bibles. All right, read your Bible. Spend time in the Word of God, but spend time reading and then thinking about the Word of God. Spend time really trying to learn what God has to say. Spend time really trying to learn what God has called us to do. Outside of your Bible, guys, read books. There's a lot of smart people that love the Lord that have written some incredible things. Just take a little bit of extra time to read some books, to read what they have to say about the Word of God. Another way you can get wisdom is this. Talk to smart people. Right? If you talk to smart people, you'll get smarter. I've always found that true. I try to surround myself with smart people and just talk to them to hear how they think about different things. You guys in life group classes, talk to your life group teachers. They're smart people. They know the Word of God. And as you talk to them, as you discuss God's Word with them, that wisdom that they have, God will use that to increase your wisdom and your knowledge of God as well. And then guys, when you're spending time just hanging out, talking to each other, man, talk about the things of God. Right, talk about your Bible study. Talk about different verses that you're reading and what God's teaching you and what God is showing you. Because I promise you, you guys probably experienced it this past week at camp when you were talking about your quiet times. There are certain things that you're going to get and that you're going to understand that your friends might not get and not understand. As you guys talk, you're going to be able to share that with each other and help both of you to grow in wisdom. So first, it's our head, guys. Ask God for wisdom. And once you get that wisdom, let's take it to the next level. And with our hands, with our lives, with our bodies, let's do this. Let's be wise, all right? Get wisdom and then live it out, right? Be wise. Romans 12, verse 2 says this, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your, what? Mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not just so that your mind can be renewed, but so that you can actually use it and do what God's called you to do, that by testing, you can discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Guys, when we know it, we got to put it into practice and do it. When we know what God's called us to do, we need to go and do it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, everyone who hears, this is Jesus speaking, everyone who hears these words of mine, and he goes on, he says, everyone that hears these words of mine and does them, everyone who hears them and then does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. For a very long period in Solomon's life, Solomon heard the word of God and he did the word of God. He heard instruction from the Father and he did what God called him to do. And we saw the effects of that. We saw how God's hand was on that. We saw how God moved in that. Guys, we've got to do what God has called us to do. If you're a believer, right? If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've placed your faith and trust in him, for those of y'all that were at camp this past week, for those of y'all that have sat on the stool and lifted your feet off the floor and trusted God fully with your life, guys, that we've got to do what he's told us to do. This is a verse that I pray over you guys very, very often. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I prayed over my family, my kids, myself. I prayed over the students in this ministry all the time. It says this, only let your manner of life, so let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Guys, we need to live lives where we do what God has called us to do. And we can know what God's called us to do by reading his word. As we open up his word, we can see the life that God wants us to live. We can see what God's called us to do. And time again, we see that God has put that in his word, one, to protect us, to protect our hearts, and two, to ultimately give him glory. So we've got to know it, and then we've got to do it. Those are both incredible things. Those are both things that we are called to do. But don't miss this. All right, don't miss the most important part. If our head is there, that's great. If our hands are there, then that's even better. But guys, it's got to start in our hearts. Our head and our hands need to be in alignment with our heart. So the last thing I have for you this morning is this, is guys, let God have your whole heart. Let God have your whole heart. Don't think just a little bit is enough. God definitely had Solomon's heart. Even at the end of his life, God had a little piece of Solomon's heart. Solomon was still sacrificing to the Lord. Solomon still went into the temple that he built for God. But in addition to giving God some of his heart, he gave a little bit of his heart to the God of this wife. He gave a little bit of his heart to the God of this wife. He gave a little bit of his heart to the God of this wife. And it was like he gave God some of his heart, but not all of it. And by not giving God his entire heart, things crept in and turned his heart away from God and down a road that he did not want to go on. Jesus says in Matthew that we should love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. Not a little bit. Not part of it. We shouldn't love the Lord on Sundays and Wednesdays. We should love the Lord our God all the time with our entire hearts. God wants it all. Right? God wants our whole hearts. Make sure that your heart's there before anything else. Make sure that your heart is in alignment with the heart of God. It's very possible, and we saw it in Solomon's life, that we can know the things of God. All right, a lot of you guys have grown up in church. A lot of you guys spent time at camp this past week. A lot of you guys have been around people that talk about church things a lot. So you might know in your head a lot about God. You might have learned a lot about God, and you have a lot of knowledge up here. You might even have a lot of knowledge up here and then actually live some of it out, right? You might go on mission trips. You might spend time serving other people. You might serve in the community. You might invest in, help other people. Maybe even serve in the church. But it's possible, and we see in Solomon's life, to have knowledge in your head, to be doing things with your hands, and for your heart to be totally out of whack, for your heart to not be a heart that's fully surrendered to God. And so this morning, as you think about your head, as you think about your hands, guys, I want you to start by thinking about your heart. Who's got your heart? Does God have your whole heart? Or are you holding some of it back? Have you allowed God to fully control what's going on in your heart? Is God your one undeniable passion? Is the reason that you do what you do out of a response and love towards God? Or are there other things that motivate you? Or are there other things that have crept in that might be distracting you from your love relationship with Jesus? This past week was incredible to see and to hear how so many students got their hearts right again with God. So many students came in and confessed and said, you know what? God's only got a little bit of my heart right now. I've allowed things to come into my life. I've allowed things to creep into my heart that are distracting me and keeping me from focusing on God the way that I know I need to focus on God. And in that moment, so many of them began to get their hearts right again. So many people confessed junk that was going on in their life that was polluting their heart and got rid of it. So many people got their hearts right with God. And as their hearts became right with God again, their lives came back into that alignment so they could go where God had called them to go. And my question for all of us this morning is this. Are our hearts following wholly after God so that our lives can be in alignment with the will of God? Who's got your heart this morning?
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.